This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders on this third Sunday in Advent. Reverend Steve Kramer is conducting our service today. Information on how to order cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon will follow the program. We're glad you're with us and invite you to tune in every Sunday on this station.
Do you ever get the blues? Today we're going to look at a story about a man who was experiencing the blues and what God did to help him. Let us pray. Almighty God, our help in ages past, storms rage about us in this life and sometimes within us, causing us to be afraid and depressed. In your mercy, deliver us from fear and gloom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Dear friends, do you ever get the blues? It happens to most of us at one time or another in life. For many, Christmas season is a time where the blues are experienced as people miss that loved one who died in the past year, or they're separated from family during this time. Some churches I know of hold a worship service during this season that they actually call the Blue Service for people experiencing the blues. For other people, it might not be a sense of loss, but it might be experienced through the financial hardship that they're going through at the present time, with all of the advertising emphasizing giving gifts and so on, reminding them that they don't have enough in order to give the gifts they'd like to give their loved ones. There's just a whole host of ways for us to experience the blues. As Christians, we know how important it is that as we struggle with various life issues, to turn to Scripture to look for some answers on how to overcome those things. Today we're going to look at 1 Kings 19. It's a story about a fellow who had the blues. His name was Elijah. Elijah was doing his work for the Lord during a very dark time in the history of Israel, when they were spiritually moving far away from the God who had saved them and made them his people. The king, whose name was Ahab, had married a woman named Jezebel, who was a foreigner, and brought along with her to Israel her foreign gods, the gods of fertility, the Baals and the Asheroths. And she not only worshipped those gods in the palace, but she brought as her agenda to get the rest of the nation to join her in worshipping them as well and to leave behind the God of Israel. Elijah's job was to awaken the people to the wrong direction they were headed as they fell prey to Jezebel and Ahab's leadership. It all finally came to a head at Mount Carmel, where Elijah challenged the priests and prophets of the fertility cult, the Baals, to a contest to see whose sacrifice would be lit up as they called upon their gods and as Elijah called upon the God of Israel. Of course, many of you probably know, if you've read chapter 18 of 1 Kings, that Elijah's prayer was answered and the people came to their senses, at least for the moment, and were made quite aware that the God of Israel was the God to be trusted, and the prophets of the Baals were done away with. That didn't make Jezebel too happy, and this is when the blues began to set in for Elijah. Let's look at it now, the first few verses in chapter 19. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So may the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then Elijah was afraid. He got up and fled for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and he left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It's enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then Elijah lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. So we find Elijah brooding at this broom tree. He's depressed. He's downcast. In fact, he's so depressed, he says that he wants to die. And he tells God, "It's enough. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors." How's that for one depressed prayer? Now, how did Elijah get driven to such a despairing state of mind? We can pick up some ideas about this from some of his statements. First of all, in verse 3, we see him really following his feelings instead of the facts. Life suddenly felt out of control as Elijah heard the news from the messenger that Jezebel was going to get even with him and do him in, and he ran for fear, already letting go of the fact that God had proven himself to be faithful. We also see in verse 3 that when the chips were down for him, he isolated himself. He left his servant and went off by himself into the wilderness. Sometimes when we're down and out, that's the worst thing we can do, as we make ourselves feel all the more alone. We also see some comparing going on in his mind, as he said, "I'm no better than my ancestors." That's a tough thing for us to do to ourselves, measuring ourselves against other people. And typically what happens, we just begin to feel worse and worse about ourselves. When we go on in the story, as God asks him, what's he doing out there? Elijah's going to again show his hand, and we're going to see that he exaggerated the negatives as he tells God, "I'm all alone, and everybody hates me and wants to kill me." And we also see a little later on that he plays a blame game with himself. "The people aren't changing, God. I've been zealous over this mission you've given me, but nobody seems to be changing. I'm failing at this." Dr. Archibald Hart, a psychologist, has a theory about this as well. He said, when we listen to Elijah and read this story, we see a person who is totally worn out and he's experiencing the post-adrenaline blues. He's pulled out all the stops at Mount Carmel. And just physiologically, there's a gland that produces depression in a person's body. It's the body's way of saying, "Whoa, Elijah, I can only take so much. I need some time to recover." Well, all of these things appear to be at work in the mind of Elijah as he calls out to God, "God, just snuff me out. I don't want to be around in this world anymore." Fortunately, God did not answer Elijah's prayer the way he wanted. Of course, you see, God knew exactly what Elijah needed, as God knows what every one of us needs. And God stepped in and ministered to those needs. Let's look at the story again and see what God did. Then Elijah lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. And suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." Elijah looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat, Elijah. Otherwise, the journey will be too much for you." Elijah got up and ate and drank. And then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. At that place, he came to a cave and spent the night there. What's going on? Well, verses 5 and 6, we see God, first of all, taking care of the physical needs of Elijah. He's worn out. He needed to rest, so God let him sleep. And in verse 6, the angel wakes Elijah up, and he said, "Elijah, get up and eat. You need a good meal, and I've prepared some cakes for you." Of course, we know what kind of cakes those were, right? Angel food cake. Anyway, Elijah had his fill, and then the angel let him go back to sleep again to rest some more. And then the angel woke him up a second time and gave him a second meal. And then Elijah needed to get moving again, so we see in verses 7 and 8, the angel say to him, "Get up and eat. There's a journey ahead of you." And Elijah got up, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Horeb, the Mount of God. It's there in those words we learn again that Elijah not only needed to rest and to eat, but God sent him out on a walk, a long walk, 40 days, 40 nights. Sometimes we just need to get the old blood flowing again to help ourselves snap out of a depression. God knows that about us because he made us. In verses 9 and 10, God's ministry goes on. At that place, in verse 9, it says he came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And Elijah answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Here we see God ministering to the emotional needs of Elijah. He asks them a question. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" "Pour out your heart to me." God was inviting Elijah to emote a little bit and share what was going on inside of himself. The emotions that were just running amok and out of control needed to get talked about and to someone. And God said, "Talk to me, Elijah," as he says to us, "Talk to me in prayer." And then after Elijah's given the chance to get those emotions out on the table, God goes on and sees to his spiritual needs. Verse 11, he said, "Now go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Elijah needed to have an experience of God's presence. Now let's go on with the story. "Now there was a great wind so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence." When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. Also you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And you shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, and Abimelech as prophet in your place. Whoever escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall kill, and whoever escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall kill. And yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." So Elijah set out from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. We see God ministering to the spiritual needs of Elijah. He needed to have an experience of the presence of God, and he learned something very, very important, that God is not always to be experienced in the fireworks, like the earthquake or the fire or the great winds. God was not in those. He came in a still, small voice. Sometimes God is reminding Elijah that you've got to look for me in the details and not in the fireworks. I'm with you, Elijah. And Elijah needed to hear reassuring words from God. "Elijah, you're not alone," he told him. "There are 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to the Baals. You're not alone in this battle. And I have already arranged for you to have an assistant, Elisha, to assist you in your ministry. And Elijah, I have plans for you. A promise that I am going to be at work in all of this. You shall anoint this person king. You shall anoint this person king." And again we hear these, you shall, I will, the promises of God. And then in verse 15, God says, "Now I know you've fallen off the horse. You need to get back in the saddle. You're still my person. I need you to get going." And so Elijah set out and got back in the game. And the rest is history, friends. God's word prevailed. Everything that God told Elijah came to pass. It's a wonderful story. What does this story do for us today, who sometimes battle with the blues? Well, it shows us a couple of important things. First, even God's saints get the blues. They get depressed. The Bible doesn't cover that up. These so-called biblical heroes had their moments when they were really down in the dumps. Getting depressed does not make you a failure as a Christian. Sometimes as a pastor, people come in and talk to me about their depressions, and they wonder about themselves and put themselves down and fret about, I must be a terrible Christian because I'm feeling so down. Being down and having the blues does not make you a bad Christian. It makes you a human being. Give yourself a break. Elijah had the wherewithal, though, to remember where to turn, to God in prayer. And this story gives us a wonderful picture of the God that he turned to in prayer. This God cares. He's not distant and aloof and watching from a far distance away. That shouldn't surprise us during this season as we remember Jesus Christ stepping into our world. Emmanuel, God with us, coming to rescue us from our separation from God caused by sin. And not only does this God care, he knows exactly what we need. He invented us. He knows what makes us tick. And he has a helpful word for us to get us out of the hole that we get stuck in when we get the blues. And here is perhaps the most important thing for you to carry away today. God does his best work in the darkness of caves. This isn't the only cave story in Scripture. There's a cave that David went in some of the David stories. And there's another cave where they laid the Savior, a rich man's cave. And on the third day, God rolled away the stone and raised him from the dead. God does his best work in caves. Are you living in a cave these days like Elijah was? Experiencing the blues? You do not have to sit in the darkness alone ever again. Call upon him. Open his word and let his still small voice speak to you. You're not alone. And that's the good news to carry into this Christmas. God is with us. He was with Elijah. He has come to be with us. Amen. Heavenly Father, you know everything about us. You know how we sometimes get down in the dumps and blue. Help us, O God, to remember where to turn during those times so that we might be filled with your peace and joy which comes to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the grace of God bring joy and peace to your hearts. and give you strength for your journeys, this day and forevermore. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. It is our prayer that today's message has brought you peace and joy for the week ahead in this busy Advent season. As we reach the end of another year, there is still time to make a tax-deductible annual gift to our ministry. Because of the generous support of our listeners, we are able to bring the gospel to over 1 million listeners each week. Please direct your gift to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. If you are still searching for the perfect gift for someone special, please visit our online store at christiancrusaders.org, where you can purchase our 5-volume DVD video set, Basic Biblical Truths, a copy of Reverend Larson's book, and more. If you would like a CD, cassette tape, or printed copies of today's sermon, please write to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. You may also call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. Or visit us on the web at christiancrusaders.org. Conducting today's service was our associate speaker, Reverend Steve Kramer, senior pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota. Christian Crusaders is now in its 72nd year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.